Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, is it not? It's a beautiful day for us. I'm glad to be here. Today's message I'm very, very excited about. It's a message concerning prayer, and I pray that it would be a great blessing to you. We're so thankful that we know Jesus. Amen? And so we're going to go through here verses 5 through 13 in Luke chapter 11. But I want to just backtrack just for a moment what we did last week. We looked at a model prayer. And if you remember that, we started in verse 1. So let's go there. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place," as Jesus was praying in a certain place, "when Jesus ceased," "that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So somehow when they saw Jesus pray, they were encouraged to ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now that's what it says here, but it also means teach us how to pray. And so praying is an amazing privilege. It's a privilege. We are finite. Have you ever noticed? We're not infinite. God is infinite. We're finite. But he gives us an invitation. He invites us to come into the very throne room of God. And we can come anytime because we are his children. That's part of what we're going to see. But we must come a certain way. And it's a privilege the way that he calls us into prayer. So here the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus in verse 2 responded, okay, this is how you are to pray. And it doesn't mean that we have to follow everything, repeat this prayer, his words, when we go into prayer, each and every time we go into prayer. He's given us a model. He's given us instruction on the goodness of prayer, how to enter into prayer. And he says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" So we pray to the Lord in heaven. In heaven, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is separated. You are holy. We are not. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom become, not ours." And we talked about this last week in more detail. Then he says in verse 3, "Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, it adds, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So he gives us an example of how we're to pray. He instructs us on how to enter in prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We come and realize that he is holy and we're not. We're very respectful when we enter into prayer. But then he says, we can come for our needs. We are to come if we have sinned against him and ask him to forgive us in that way. And we are to forgive others as we have been forgiven. And we ask him, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So all of that is very important. We went into that last week, the model prayer. But this week we're going to look at two things: the need for persistent prayer. And then number three, where we'll spend a little bit more time, is the relationship of continuous prayer. What does it look like for us to be involved in continuous prayer? And it's important that we understand what Jesus is saying here. So let's go on to verse 5 through 8. And he said, Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is not now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' And I say to you," look at verse 8, "though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." The Lord is instructing us on how to pray. We're to be persistent. It's very important. So he teaches this parable. This parable speaks of the character of God in responding to the needs of his people. This parable also illustrates that true faith must persist in prayer until the answer comes. And remember, the answer can be what? Yes. The answer can be no. And the answer can be wait. And sometimes the wait answer is the one that we grow the most from. Because as we wait, we're to wait on him, we're to wait in him, and we're to wait continuously, growing in our faith, that we might learn how to answer or to ask the prayer according to His will. And so God answers prayer. Amen? Everybody believe that? He truly does. Thank you for that strong yes. That was right there, Gina. That was you. And all. So we see the parable that's going pouring out here. Bread was baked normally in the morning, usually only enough for that day. It was an ordinary custom of hospitality to give a newly arrived guest something to eat. And it became for this man that it was his honor was at stake if he didn't give this person the food or bread, whatever he needed at that point. So we see this story unfold, and then we see him come to this point. The person who was asked about giving him bread, he just said, he's my friend, but I'm not getting out of bed for my friend. More than likely, this is a poor family because they're seen in a single room. They're there praying, or excuse me, they're there in bed at this point. So more than likely, they're just all there with the sleeping in the same area, common blanket at that point. But again, verse 8, persistence. What's being said there, if you persist, the challenge is for us to persist in our prayer. Sometimes we just throw up a prayer, and it's good to pray. It's always good to pray, but sometimes we move away from it and we throw it up where God wants us to continue in our prayer, to persist in our prayer. So actually what's being spoken here, if you persist, He will rise and something we will see will be given to us. It's actually speaking of a brazen persistence, not a demand, because we can never demand of God, but we can come and pray with an enthusiasm, with strength and understanding that He hears our prayer. Shameless persistence also. We're not to be ashamed that we come to God and persist in our prayer. How many here have been praying for somebody maybe for a year or more? How many have been praying for someone that you love for let's say 5 years? Been doing that. How many praying for 10 years? Doing that. Persistent prayer. God welcomes us and He's encouraging us here through this parable to be persistent in our prayer, not to give up. It says in Scripture that we can know His will and that we can pray. If you keep knocking long enough is what it's saying by persistence. The whole point of the story is the need for persistent prayer. Think for a moment some of the people in Scripture that set an example of persistent prayer. Think of Abraham, Genesis chapter 18, verse 32. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, but once more, suppose 10 should be found there." Remember when Abraham is there, the Lord shows up there speaking to him, and the Lord mentions to him that he's going to go over to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy it, and then Abraham goes into just persisting in his prayer. How about 50, Lord? If there's 50 righteous in there, will you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah that way? And the Lord says, no, I won't destroy it for 50. So he persists and he says, Lord, might I speak one more time? And it's an example to us that we are, how we're to come into prayer with the Lord. Lord, I don't want to demand anything. I have no right to say anything, but Lord, might you consider if there's 40, you wouldn't destroy. If there's 30, would you not destroy? If it's 20, would you not destroy there? If you got down and Abraham persisting said, Lord, if there's 10, but as we know, there wasn't even 10 righteous in those communities, and the Lord destroyed that community because of how vile they were. But it shows us an example about persistence. Jacob, there, when he saw the Lord, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you press or bless me." Sometimes in our persistence, we're to be there, not demanding again, but yet we come and the Lord wants us to persist in our prayer and to be strong in our prayer. In Deuteronomy, Moses said this, "And I fell down before the Lord as at first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." And so Moses gave us this example. Imagine God has called him to 40 days, 40 nights, praying, fasting there on the mountain for the nation of Israel because they had sinned, they had rebelled against God. What happened if Moses stopped on day 5? What would have happened to the nation of Israel? We don't know because he went to day 6. What happens if on day 10 he decided, forget it, they're not worth it, we're going to stop, and he decided not to persist in prayer? We don't know that because he went to day 11. What happened if Moses got to day 22? You guys get the idea? And it's a way with us in our lives too. God wants us to persist in prayer. That's what the parable is teaching. But Moses got to day 39 at that point. For sure, Lord, you're not in this. There's no way that you're in this. I must be going down the wrong avenue. But the Lord beckons him, continue there on day 40. And the Lord answers the prayer in a very special way. How many people are we praying for? Who do we need to persist for? Who do we not need to give up? And so we see that wonderful example. Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Sometimes the Lord allows certain things in our lives to be there so we will pray more earnestly. Anybody hear of trials? Anybody have trials? They have a purpose in our lives. It can be that we would persist and we would learn about persisting with the Lord. We'd learn in our prayer lives how to walk with him, what to expect. So it's a beautiful parable that we see there. But let's go on to verse 9. Now we come into this relationship of continuous prayer. Notice it says in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? You guys answer that. Would he give him a stone? No, of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Wouldn't do that. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Wouldn't do that. Then in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? It's very important that we understand what he's saying. In Luke or Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Matthew puts it a little different there. He says he will give you good things. Well, the Holy Spirit is a good thing, definitely, to have. And so ask, seek, knock is the message today. With the understanding of the parable of the needy friend, the believer is able to ask with assurance, since we know that God will respond to our persistence in prayer. How many of us are persisting? How many of us believing that God will do the unusual today, the impossible, and we need to persist in that and believe God for that? Notice he says here, I say to you, in verse 9, I say to you. The degree of one's faith is largely determined by the foundation on which it rests. Here, the foundation are the words of Jesus and his threefold promise. The Lord says, I say to you, ask. It's an invitation, and it will be given to you. I say to you, seek, and you will find. I say to you, knock, and it will be opened to you. The Lord will answer prayer. Yes, no, or wait. Very important that we understand that. So that the encouragement is from Jesus is to pray in a consistent way. Our assurance that God hears and will answer our prayers rests on the integrity and the authority of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For God so loved this world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. We know today we believe that, do we not? The gospel message. God came, became one of us. He died on the cross for each and every one of us. They put him in the grave. He rose from the dead to the living. And we have victory in him as we come and understand that we have a need to be forgiven of all of our sins because he died for us. Then he was the perfect sacrifice and we can be forgiven of our sins. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. A relationship is established as soon as we come personally repenting of our sin, giving in our hearts to the Lord. Very important we would do that. But then another world opens up to us, this world of prayer, this world of spending time with him, listening to him, hearing from him. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And again, our assurance that God hears and will answer our prayer rests on the integrity and the authority of the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus said here, ask. Because we have a friendship, we can go to God with assurance that God's ears are open to his friend. We are to go and to simply ask, what need do we have today? What desire do we have for loved ones? What are we praying? Are we praying and asking for those in Afghanistan today? Are we doing that? Are we paying attention to what's going on? We can ask the Lord, Lord, we need your intercession. There was a man I was reading in the paper today that was helped out the Americans there. He had a very high position. He was a police chief in one of the provinces of Afghanistan. And so the Taliban were looking for him, and they would have killed him if they found him. But the U.S. got in there and got him out before that happened. I imagine there's people praying. Are you guys praying? I'm praying. I pray that we all pray. The U.S. citizens would get out, but also all the people would get out of there. It's a dangerous place. So we need to ask. The encouragement here in the original language is keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We're not to give up in any way. I love what's found in Psalm 37:5. It says this, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's power of prayer. As we commit ourselves to the Lord, as we roll over ourselves into his hands, to roll it upon him is an exercise of trust. It implies subordination of will and quiet confidence in his guidance. It speaks of a relationship being established. We are to roll over in our prayers. We're to ask him and continue to ask him and roll over and commit our way unto the Lord. We are to seek, as it says there. The encouragement is to keep on seeking. The journey of seeking is guided by principles that we have. So now we ask the Lord, and then we come to this place of seeking, okay? Not just asking, but now we want to spend time and learn more how we can ask in a better way. So we begin to seek. And how do we seek? In prayer, I learned to seek by being in the Word. If I want to know how I am supposed to pray, what is it I am to ask, or how I'm to ask these things. So then I seek, and I begin to just make sure I'm in the Word. I make sure that I'm in prayer. I make sure that I'm listening for that peace that rules my heart. I seek out wise counsel at times. I watch the timings of things in that way. Observe circumstances. All these things teach me how to seek him in certain ways in my life. Then he says, knock, and that is to keep on knocking. As we keep on knocking, the door will open according to the Lord's will. Listen to this scripture in 1 John chapter 5. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I have an example I'd like to share with you. Some are familiar with it. Bear with me. Others are hearing this for the first time. But ask, seek, knock. A long time ago, we were over at Colonial Hills Baptist Church, the old building that was there on 80th and Keystone in that area. We'd been there for 3 years. The agreement with Colonial Hills Baptist Church is that we would rent it for so much per month, but they would provide the parts and we would do the labor. So in 3 years, we've totally redid this building from top to bottom, and they wanted it back. So the question was, where do we go? So I began looking at warehouses. I began looking at wherever I could, anywhere to find out where we would go. We were less than 100 people, 100 adults. But we wanted to find out, so we began to ask, we began to seek, we began to knock. Well, the secretary at that time came in one morning, and she handed me this little piece of paper about that big, and it says, Disciples of Christ selling their retreat center at 7702 Indian Lake Road for 88 acres for $1.2 million. Okay, so she handed me this. And as I looked at that, she walked out. As I looked at that, I was about to put it over into the circular file can at that point. And walk away from that, because we were, as I said, less than 100 people, $20,000, that's all we had at that point, and they wanted $1.3 million. So, but then as I was going like that to do that, something inside of here said, no, wait, ask me about that. So we began to ask the Lord. We just began that beautiful relationship that we have with him about asking him, Lord, I don't know how this works, you know who we are, we know, you know what we have and different things. And so we just started asking him. I call it a wonderment. It was a wonderment. Could it be? So we would come over here 6:30 in the morning. We'd come over and on the south campus over there, and we'd walk through there, and it was beautiful. There were deer out there, By the way, there's no hunting on this property. Nobody's killing Bambi. It's not allowed. Not at all. But we just came and we just began to pray. We were asking. We were seeking. We were knocking, learning about that in principle. So we just began, okay, if we're going to ask, then we've got to get to the point to seek. And so what we did is we found out they had a realtor. And so we went and met with the realtor. What are they willing to do? Well, this is what they're willing to do. $1.3 million cash. And we thought, oh, okay, $20,000, $1.3 million? Yeah, we can do it. No, you know, that wasn't exactly it, because we had to learn how to walk in it and how to grow in seeking and all. So we got to a point and we thought, well, you know, I don't know. God seems to be in this. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking and all of those things. But what do you want to do, Lord? And then he just put it on our heart. We'll meet with the disciples of Christ. Okay, we'll do that. We can do that. We'll meet with them. So we went over to their headquarters, and then there's about three or four of them came out, and the realtor was there, and we just wanted to meet. And they said, well, why do you want to meet us? And they had three-piece suits, and I was kind of dressed like this, you know. A little intimidating. They just stared at you. What do you want to do? Well, we're not sure, but, you know, we think that the Lord might be in this to purchase this property. How much money do you have? That was a question. How much money do you have? $20,000. Oh, this is not going to work. Do you realize we want cash? Yes, I do. Then why are you here? I don't know. God wants us. We're just seeking. We're just seeking. Bear with us. We ask, we seek, and we knock. That's all that we're doing at this point. And they said, okay, you got whatever, you know. And so the story goes on and on and on. We don't have time to do that. But we eventually came out on the property. They allowed us to come out. And because we went to them, this place was a mess. Grass was this high. Buildings were a mess. Needed painting and all that. And so we had learned a lesson with the Disciples of Christ building. And so we came out, and here's the offer we made. We don't have the money, but this is what we'll do. We'll pay you $2,500 a month to rent the place. And we'll cut the grass. We'll paint the buildings. We'll maintain it. And you go ahead and try to sell it. That's not a bad deal, is it? And then they stopped us. And you're saying, we can go ahead and try to sell it? Yeah. And we said, yeah, go ahead and do that. And the Lord taught us in our asking, our seeking, and our knocking, just to walk with him and trust him. And so four different times the realtor came to us and said they got it sold. Four different times we went and knocked some more. And we sought out the Lord more. And we asked them more. Four different times, it fell out of escrow. And they finally came to the point, okay, guys, what do you want? I'm not kidding you. That's what it came to. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I don't know. All we have is $20,000. A broken record after a while. It was just hilarious. It was hilarious. But God worked on them, because we began by asking. Then we began to seek more specifically with understanding. And then we just kept knocking. And as we knocked, we learned more. We learned more about them. We learned how to pray and all that. And finally, you know, they just said, okay, we'll do whatever you want. You know, it was like this. Okay, we'll buy it for $1 million. Okay, $1 million's fine. You know, but we went into, they became the bank, and we just started out at first, and then the Lord just paid it off. Isn't that neat? Yeah, God is good. So good. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, what? He hears us. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. It's just beautiful. Asking, seeking, and knocking. And Jesus gives us this invitation to walk into this room and to do that with him. Notice verse 10, he starts it out by, for everyone. It's not just for this person or that person or this person that seems more spiritual or this is a better prayer warrior. I think Jesus says for everyone. What's everyone mean? Everyone. All of us. What are we believing today God for? What are we seeking him for? What are we asking him about? What are we knocking on the door? How are we being persistent? Because he wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. Ron came one time. A couple years ago, wasn't it, Ron? You came back from a prayer thing. Was it 3 years ago? Came from a prayer thing. And he says, guys, I heard this guy speaking. And it was just really touched my heart. Oh, good. Well, what was it, Ron? And the guy just said, he challenged us to believe the impossible. And so Ron says, I want to get the staff together. And I said, okay, Ron. Okay, I agree with it. We got together, didn't we, Ron? And then we went around the room and we were challenged to believe the impossible. And we wrote down different things that were impossible. Now, not all of those have been answered, but some of them have. We began to ask, we began to seek, we began to knock on the door about certain things and just believe the Lord would do that. An opportunity for all of God's children here, Jesus is saying, to enter in. The believer should not give up, but continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock for the answer of his or her prayers. Doors will be open, and that which is not seen will be found because we believe that. How many believe that you can ask God for anything? How many believe that you can seek him no matter what? How many believe that we can knock on the door to heaven, anytime we want, because we are his children? Joseph Fitzmyer points out that each of these three modes of petition, asking, seeking, knocking, is promised a reward from God. Asking, there's a gift. Seeking, there's a discovery. Knocking, there's a welcome, and we're to do all of those things. He also says the believer can anticipate that God will somehow intervene. He will receive as a direct result of prayer something that he would have otherwise been lacking in his life. So we pray, we cry out. It's a wonderful invitation, is it not? Yeah, it's a wonderful invitation. It really is. It's a great invitation. Walking with God in prayer. It's like if this room, the doors are closed, all the doors are closed, they're all locked, you can't get out. And the Lord brings us into this room. But it's the room of asking, seeking, and knocking. And so we go over there to that corner there. Lord, show me some scriptures about asking. Speak to me about asking. What's that mean? And that's when we're in our prayer closets. He speaks to us that way. So then we go over to this corner there. And he says, I want to teach you about seeking. Come on over here with me. And so he teaches us about seeking, what that means, what that looks like. And then knocking at the door. Then that's over there. So we walk over there and there's all these scriptures floating around and all about all of these different things. And we learn about him in the place of prayer, the place of learning. And when we go into our prayer closets and shut the door, we begin to learn things that we haven't understood before about asking and seeking and knocking. In verses 11 through 13, Jesus's final point is that when believers come to God in prayer, they're coming to a loving heavenly Father. How many believe that? A loving dad. He wants to talk to us and he wants us to come to him. This is important because it relates to the attitude and confidence in which we pray. We can come to our Father and talk to him about anything. Dad, I feel frustrated. Dad, I don't understand this. Father, I don't know what it means. I've been praying forever and ever. Why is there no answer? We can bring that to him. Dad, I just can't believe that you love me this much. And we can come to him with anything. Someone has said when making their petitions, believers are not just coming as a slave growling in front of a master, not just like a neighbor to a neighbor, not just as a friend to a close friend, not even just as a child to an earthly father, but believers come to a heavenly Father willing and able to give us all things, including the Holy Spirit, as we need him. Do we serve a great Lord? An invitation is given to us. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Do we believe that today? It's the truth. It's the word of God. I say to you. He is the authority that we have, that we walk in the midst of this. Jesus drove the point home. Perseverance and endurance receives what it asks for. The believer shall get what he asked if he or she will not leave the throne of God, will not go away, will not let God alone as he prays according to God's will. He wants us to do that. That's what this whole encouragement is. We need to spend more and more time in prayer. The whole point is this, that the person who prays must be sincere. We must be fervent. We must be constant in our prayers. We must, yes, persist in our prayers, persevering, enduring, and seeking the face of God for whatever he wants. It's amazing. Infinite God, creator of the whole universe, has given us a thing called prayer, conversation, just talking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he uses us by his Spirit. I'll give you my Holy Spirit. Just trust me, I will guide you. In these passages, Jesus gave an exhortation, a mini sermon to persevere and endure in prayer. And he stated it perfectly. The person, who prays is to continue asking for what he needs. Ask, and it shall be given to you. But if asking does not receive it, then seek, and you shall find. But if seeking does not receive it, then knock, and it will be open to you. There's a process. There's a step-by-step. The point is simply this. We must mean what we pray. And the way we show God our sincerity is by continuing to ask according to his will for what we need. Amen? Ask, seek, knock. It's a beautiful, wonderful relationship. We get this wonderment in our minds. I call them wonderments. Lord, what about this? I have wonderments now that I've been praying. And so I begin in that wonderment. I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, could this be from you or is it just me? I had pepperoni on my pizza last night and it's not setting well. Is this really you? And so what I do is I just continue to ask. And so I feel that my asking is according to his will. And so then I continue to ask. And then he takes me into that point that I begin to seek about this. I began to seek out counsel. I talked to different people about it. I listen very closely. I look for the peace that rules my heart. And I just see, okay, asking, now it seems more solid. I'm seeking, I'm getting, yeah, keep going. And then he just says, okay, now I want you to knock. Walk with me in this. Believe me in this. And I will be glorified in the midst of it. Is God good? He's so wonderful. So praise the Lord. There's all kinds of scriptures speaking about this. It's very wonderful what we find in scripture. So let's stand together and let's pray. Father, simple lesson today, but yet oh so profound, so deep. We thank you for the Word of God, and we're a church that's founded upon the Word of God, and we're using now the Word of God for you to instruct us concerning prayer. And Jesus, you say, ask. You say for us to seek, and you say for us to knock. Instruct us, invite us, carry us in as we believe you and begin to intercede on the behalf of people. Yes, Lord, we are to praise you and to worship you in prayer. But we must supplicate, bring people before you and your throne. So thank you for a simple lesson today, but oh, so important that we will keep on asking, we will keep on seeking, we will keep on knocking until your will is done. In Jesus' name, amen.